Good evening, everyone. You are tuned to KRFP in Moscow, Idaho. It is just after 6:30 p.m., and welcome to the last of our Radio Free Moscow call-in candidates forums. Tonight, we have Paulette Jordan in the studio, and she'll be taking your calls and answering questions at 892-9200. A little business. Let's see. At 7 o'clock, we'll have flashpoints. Flashpoints will be delayed a half hour so we can bring you this special show. Paulette Jordan is running as a Democrat in the new District 5, which includes all of Latah and all of Benoit counties in Idaho. That's about 36,000 people for Latah County, about 9,000 people for Benoit County. The district was the old District 6, at least in Latah County, where that it made up the entirety of Latah County. And there was a Democratic primary in this race. Paulette Jordan got 75% of the Democratic vote in May against opponent Jim Stivers. And Cindy Agidius is Paulette Jordan's Republican opponent. She lives in Moscow, and neither candidate has, as far as I know, run for the legislature before. And Cindy Agidius, well, we've invited all the candidates to these candidates forums and expressed an interest in arranging the proper time and date so that we could get both candidates in the studios at the same time that are running against each other to take phone calls from listeners. Those seem to be the most interesting candidates forums. But Cindy Agidius has not been returning phone calls from the station. We've also offered her a chance to do some interviews for our newscast, pre-recorded without callers or anything like that. And we just have not heard from her. So we have Paulette Jordan in the studios tonight for a half hour instead of the full hour that we would normally have with the two candidates. And we'll dispense with the one-minute limit on answering questions and so forth. We will hear from the voice of Cindy Agidius for about a minute from the League of Women Voters in a little bit, so you can get an idea of what she sounds like. So we'll say hello to Paulette Jordan. Good evening. Okay.
And get your mic turned up.
And why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and why you decided to run for the state legislature?
Yes, well, first, thank you for having me. It is quite the pleasure. I am, first and foremost, a mother of two. I was born and raised and a lifelong resident of Benoit County. I come from a strong line of cattle ranchers and agriculture farmers. And through this heritage, I believe in the value of self-sustainability and the means of production as one of the major foundations of our country. I've worked on campaigns with Maria Cantwell when I was at the University of Washington. I've been actively engaged with local city council of Seattle, working directly with the president of the university and the city council itself. When I came home, I was doing the same, building partnerships with local municipalities, government agencies, counties, statewide, and federally. On the business front, I've represented tribes locally and nationally as the co-chair of gaming for AT&I and as the board representative for the National Indian Gaming Association. Any leader should have a strong sense of patience and courage to speak up, I believe. And I think the combination of education and being good at finding the need to help, finding solutions, and building partnerships to make sure the solutions come to light and are successful is important.
Okay, so that's Paulette Jordan, sort of an introductory statement. She's live in the studios. The phone number is 892-9200. And in lieu of a first question, we'll go to a clip of Cindy Agidius from the League of Women Voters Candidates Forum, which was held at the Moscow High School last week. And the question for the candidates was how you would create a quote, favorable business climate. So here is Cindy Agidius's answer, and then we'll have Paulette Jordan, who's in the studios with us, comment on that.
Well, I think we need to keep our taxes low. Idaho just recently won awards on a national level. It placed 13th in the nation in developing new jobs during this economy. That's quite an honor. We need an educated workforce. It's difficult for businesses to come here if we haven't got a workforce that they can hire. Our business regulations need to be welcoming. Case in point here is PW Arms, that's just located out in Potlatch, is facing some real trouble from our county planning and zoning because of regulations that come from our state in how we set our planning and our code here in this county. I sit on the Planning Commission, and a lot of what we do comes straight from the state, and we're trying to meet their dictate to us. So we've got to keep those kinds of things in mind when we're making those kinds of laws.
And that was Republican Cindy Agidius of Moscow. Paulette Jordan of Plummer is in the studios with us. And do you care to react to what Cindy Agidius said in that clip?
First, I find it very interesting. She says she's on the Planning and Zoning Committee. And to believe that Idaho has so many strict regulations to prevent businesses, which is highly not the case. I think it's quite the opposite. There are very few regulations. I think we have a very business-friendly environment. But what would really enhance the state of Idaho and increase the friendliness would be advancing our infrastructure by means of technological support, advancing our education and our transportation.
Okay. The phone number is 892-9200. That's 892-9200. If you have a question for Paulette Jordan, who is running for House Seat 5A, I'll just mention there are two other contested legislative races in District 5, which is Layton Benoit County. The other House seat, incumbent Shirley Ringo, Democrat, is running against Republican Ken DeVries. Shirley Ringo's of Moscow. Ken DeVries is of St. Mary's. And they were both in the studios for a candidates forum a couple weeks ago, and we got lots of phone calls. It was good to hear all the interest in that race. And then there's a Senate race with incumbent Democrat Dan Schmidt and Republican Gresham Bauma, and they are running against each other. So I don't see the lights lighting up right now, so I want to ask the question, well, do you support the health care nullification that was proposed in the state legislature during the last session? The health care nullification.
Can you further that question?
Well, the members of the legislature were proposing to have the state of Idaho not follow the federal health care law that was passed last year.
Yes, that question I think is a good one. For me, what I think about is how best the state can really look into its own quality health care. How are they going to benefit from the National Health Care Act? I know for a fact that we've cut Medicaid last year, and we, for the past 2 years, the state had an opportunity to provide a solution for itself to fund its own Medicaid and Medicare. In fact, there was even ideas circulating about healthcare exchanges, and that has yet to be resolved, which means, again, the federal government was going to have to come in and devise a solution for us. So if we continue to drag our feet on deciding one way or another, we're going to have to compete with federal government, and they're going to make decisions on our behalf.
Okay. The phone number is 892-9200. I believe the caller that we had hung up. Are you there? Caller? Okay. I guess we don't have that caller there. So the next question I have... do you think there is a practice by the legislature of releasing low revenue projections during the last few years and then receiving revenue in excess of those projections, and that's a way of excusing budget cuts to social programs?
I think so. It's a cunning way to show that we're balancing our budget when, in fact, we're not. When we're cutting from teachers, giving to the wealthy, cutting from public schools, and in fact, our public schools are failing, and not just in terms of educational curriculum, but in terms of the fact that they've just been poorly funded. We need to increase school systems funding, teachers' pay, all around, I think, even in transportation, we've seen dollars cut there. So I think we can really look at the budget closely and notice that year after year, there's always been a deficit in terms of what do we have to fall upon, because even in the summertime, when we're looking at fire suppression, $53 million goes to fire suppression. Well, if there was a big fire 1 year, do we have any money left in our budget to make up for that shortfall. So there are definitely cunning ways to trick the minds to think that we have more than enough.
Okay, Paulette Jordan's in the studios. We have a caller on the line. KRFP, you are on the air.
Good evening, Paulette Jordan. I'm interested to know how you feel about how important it is for the state of Idaho to provide provisions for the medically uninsured people. You may have answered this in your previous question. In terms of the affordable health care in the state of Idaho, the legislature has already made some decisions. What is your stand on providing affordable health care for those people who are medically uninsured?
That's a great question. One that I truly care about, and once elected, I would definitely want to work on as a priority of mine, along with education. But I believe that we have working poor here, and that is unfortunate. That is another reason why we have to support our small businesses. Now, I'm not sure what your circumstances are, but just in general, I do support the fact that we have incoming federal aid. The state of Idaho had, again, 2 years to work on this as a solution. And it is very problematic. It goes very much deeper than just the funding matter. It goes all the way to the broken system that we have nationally. And I think the broken system is just in providing quality care and how that's covered. It's such a political matter because, we have competing health insurances and the way our system works, where our providers are to look at the needs in caring for a patient and finding the problem and caring for them, to charge them in the end. And it just seems like it's more of a business than all about complete wellness, so that the patient can walk away and continue to stay healthy, and then they benefit from that as doctors or providers. So we have to look at how can we pay for those indigents who are not covered. And right now we're currently being double taxed. With the National Health Care Act coming in, I've looked at the budget, and we can see that double tax going away within the next 5 years. Now, of course, that would be great for those taxpayers, but we also have to find competitive solutions for the healthcare in terms of insurance for folks who are independently through businesses, small businesses, or just those who are not working. And I think that finding a health insurance exchange solution would be one option that would make it so that folks can choose what's best for them and keep those insurance companies competitive with one another, so people, our citizens, have the advantage.
Now, Governor Otter appointed a special panel to decide whether or not the state should have its own insurance exchange. They came back with a recommendation over the weekend or last Friday that that Idaho should do that, although there were some consultants who were saying that Idaho doesn't have enough time. What do you think on that?
Well, there definitely isn't enough time. They had 2 years to decide this, and the deadline is coming up here in mid-November.
Okay. KRFP, Paulette Jordan, candidate for House Seat 5A, is on the air with us live. The phone number is 892-9200. If anybody out there has questions for Paulette Jordan, maybe making up your mind who to vote for in this legislative race. All the legislative races are important this year. I want to go to the laptop contract. The state of Idaho just signed a $182 million contract with Hewlett-Packard to pay for laptops and their maintenance over an 8-year period. And we've just been given some numbers recently that this contract is going to be a lot more expensive than the amount that Superintendent of Public Instruction Tom Luna told legislators back in 2011 when he was promoting his education overhaul. In fact, the annual cost of the 8-year contract is $22.5 million, which is 54% more than the amount Luna had originally predicted. Now, I believe you said at previous forums you were going to vote no on Propositions 1, 2, and 3, when Idaho voters have the a chance to overturn the Luna Student Come First laws in the November election. I was wondering if you could speak a little bit about the cost of this education overhaul. overhaul for our listeners?
I think it's huge, and people are overlooking it. The fact that it's going to cost as much means we're going to be taking from elsewhere. And where are we going to make up for that money? Where are the funds going to come from? And we're looking at cutting teachers, and at this point, I think the reduction has been around 1,000, and that's close to 10% of the teaching force. So we have to take a good look at what we're exchanging these monies for. It goes back to the whole notion of replacing teachers with laptops. So I think our taxpayers really need to pay attention here, because he's taking this money, that amount, in the middle of a recession, and he's bragging that he's funding to pay for performance and technology without raising anyone's taxes. So taxpayers, please pay attention. Obviously, there's going to be some raised taxes. Legislators are going to be forced to find the solution. And what is the solution going to be?
Paulette Jordan is in the studios with us. 892-9200 is the number. We've had, over the past couple years, a number of extremely heavy equipment loads going between Lewiston and the Alberta tar sands in Canada. There are questions over the impact of climate change on the massive industrial project up there in northeastern Alberta. And there's also questions about the conditions of the roads in Idaho and whether or not the state will be subsidizing repairs to the roads because of the long-term damage caused by these loads, especially if, say, U.S. Highway 12, for example, is opened up as a high and wide corridor for these giant two-lane wide loads. I remember Representative Trail did not get sufficient information when he contacted the Transportation Department to find out, but he concluded that the state will be subsidizing the repair for the roads, and that the fees being charged to these companies and haulers are not sufficient to maintain the roads. I was wondering what your opinions are about the heavy haul megaloads, both in terms of the roads and climate change.
Yeah, that's a complex question there.
Yeah.
But I'll do my best to answer that. I think with the fees coming from the big companies, big oil companies especially, they need to be paying more. The state should have held their feet to the fire in regards to what it's going to cost the state in the end. Of course, we're all paying for it as taxpayers and the state as a whole. But I think the problem now is it's already done. Yeah, they're already going through and the mega loads have passed. People need to be mindful of the road systems, however, and I think that really helped take a nice big eye and a shining light onto our roads development. And of course, our roads need to be improved. But again, it's always at the taxpayers' hands. So my position there is environmentally, I do not support the Keystone Pipeline. I'm very much against it, and especially the fact that it's mostly just benefiting Canada. None of that money, I think, would even benefit any of the U.S. But the fact that even it would even destroy many of our aquifers. And that's something to keep in mind. And fracking, very dangerous. So, of course, I don't support that, and I was not part of that decision. So it's beyond my time, and it would be something that I would inherit. And then once elected, I would look on how to recover those costs, because it has made some impact to our roads.
Okay, you did mention fracking. Now, there were oil and gas drilling rules in Idaho that were written and improved by the legislature this year, and including Senate Bill 464, which prohibits municipal governments from regulating most aspects of drilling in their counties and cities. And all the oil and gas drilling rules also seem to include fracking as a matter of course, if that's what the companies want to do. I was wondering if you want to comment on these rules that were approved by the legislature this year, and in particularly the idea that local governments cannot regulate where drilling can take place.
I think that speaks highly of the hypocrisy of our government. And you look at who is in the majority. For me, it's a disappointment, because it really should be about local government. and keeping our decision-making local. We have there's a reason behind electing local officials, whether it's on the city council, the county commissioners, state representatives, even our governor. But I think that that's one mistake that the legislators have made this year by taking away the responsibilities of our local county elected officials.
We're with Paulette Jordan here at KRFP Moscow. We'll be with her for about 10 more minutes live in the studios. If you have a question for her, please call 892-9200. We'll put you on the air and ask about and have you ask your question. Now, do you think the state needs better ethics rules for state lawmakers, like an independent ethics commission, perhaps?
Absolutely. I'm definitely all for it, and I'm surprised I have not seen it thus far, but in the coming years, and again, once elected, I would love to see that happen, and I would be very much behind that and as a sponsor. And hopefully within next year, we'll see those laws opened up, and of course, everything being more transparent for the people to see.
Okay, we've got two callers on the two phone lines. We'll go to the caller who called about 30 seconds ago. So, caller, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
Ms. Jordan, you're quite eloquent and very clear about your stand on a lot of the political issues, and I appreciate what you have to say about this, all the issues that have been presented before you. When we elect an official, it's important for the voter, for the citizen, to understand what drives you to be compelled to take a political office. Can you speak to that, please?
Sure, and thank you for calling in and for your question. It goes all the way back. It's deeply rooted. I was raised by my grandparents, and of course, very good parents, but my grandparents were very influential in my life. And from my very young beginnings, I was always taught to serve others. And they were strong leaders themselves, and they taught me by nature that leadership listens. And of course, it starts with service to others. I was recruited for this position, and I believe by those who are also great leaders, and I highly respect, and the citizens, because they see that I am someone who takes the opportunity to sit down and listen and talk very thoroughly with someone with an open ear, and I actually find solutions with what they're saying. I'm not someone who just takes the time to listen, but I'm one who is able to process it with my education and experience and find a solution. And I think that's what's most critical. But I believe with everything I've done, it's always been of service, and it's just who I am. So I think when that's all you know, that's pretty much what you feel most comfortable doing. So I feel very comfortable being here. And of course, I want to fight for the people of Idaho. And we have a very strong district. I'm very proud of it, especially the university. To me, it's a powerhouse, and all of us should be very proud of it as a land-grant university and as one of the top universities in the nation.
Okay, we're with Paulette Jordan. We have two callers on the line. We'll go to the caller who's been waiting through a full question cycle, so go ahead, caller. Okay, that caller hung up, so we'll go to line one now. Caller, you're on the air.
Go ahead. Hello?
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. My question for Mrs. Jordan is, I was curious how you feel about House Joint Resolution 2, which is a constitutional amendment that would preserve hunting, fishing, and trapping, including the use of traditional methods, forever. And so I'll just hang up and listen. Thank you.
Okay.
Yes. Now for Benoit County, and all my family, our relatives, uncles, brothers, everybody, they're all hunters, and they're also just avid outdoorsmen. We blend with the land. We're very very much in tune to our landscape and the animals within it. So it would be hypocritical of me to say that I do not support hunting and fishing, because I am very much about that. It's very much about my culture. It's deeply rooted in my family history, my heritage. And I think it's just a necessary faction. I support House Joint Resolution for those reasons. But there is one thing I think is troublesome is that right now it's already state law. but to put it in the Constitution, of course, furthers that, and I have no problem with that. Of course, we look at trapping and then how it would affect the Idaho State Fish and Wildlife, and we need to consider those matters as well. And I think that's, to the extent of it all, is what I would say. But, of course, there really is no problem with it. It's already a state law. So it's just basically putting a double stamp on it to put it into the state constitution.
Now, sort of a related question. Some have said Idaho Fish and Game is not maintaining a sustainable wolf population as would normally be required by a state management plan as overseen by the federal government. What do you think about Fish and Game's wolf hunting season plans?
There needs to be a strong, there needs to be a strong plan in place. And I believe that, especially for me, I live out in a rural area, and a lot of my neighbors are dealing with wolves, and there is a wolf situation. And I don't think it's just rurally, though. I think they're getting closer and closer to folks, even in urban areas. So it's definitely an issue that we need to look at, and I would like to see stricter regulations.
Now, Gresham Bauma, who's running for state Senate, says the wolves that have been introduced in Idaho, or reintroduced, depending on how you look at it, are different subspecies from northern Alberta that kills wolves. Do you think that the or kills moose for dinner, I suppose. Do you think the wolves that have been reintroduced in Idaho are any different and are should be considered an invasive species and not the wolves that lived here traditionally?
As far as a mutated wolf, I have never seen a wolf personally, but that's another matter. I know for a fact, though, that those who have cattle or horses, their animals have been mutated or taken up in conception. So how do we deal with that? I think that's up to local control and the local residents having a say in what's best to deal with that matter at hand, and the state should take a listen.
Okay, 892-9200. We only have a few minutes left. I'll try and get a couple last questions in. There seems to be a move to eliminate the business personal property tax in Idaho during the next legislative session. Any comments on that?
Well, I am all for any kind of business tax incentives. We want to see our local businesses thrive. Now, if we take away the personal property tax, which I'm hearing, especially here in Latah County, the problem is we're going to have to find another tax, another area for funding. And what that solution will be is it's up in the air for discussion. But I would like to look into sales tax, internet sales tax. And I think that's a viable option, but that, again, needs to have a thorough feasible study done. And I think more options on the table, the better. But again, people do need to look at that, and they are currently, so I know it's been an issue.
What are your thoughts about the two bills that passed this year in the legislature aimed at Occupy Boise, who were doing a tent encampment across the street from the Capitol? One law prohibits camping on state land except in designated campsites, and the other authorizes the Department of Administration to create a permit system for state property it manages, which includes the Capitol Mall.
If it's an issue, I think that's something that legislators can look at. I don't live in Boise, so I cannot tell you from here if it's an issue. But obviously, if it's state land, it's public land. And if they're disrespecting the land, of course, there are laws to provide regulations to prevent people from exploiting it. So I guess I would have to take a look at what those regulations are and if people are exploiting that and not abiding by them.
Okay, well, we've pretty much finished a half hour here. We're with Paulette Jordan. She's a Democrat running for state House Seat 5A. Her opponent is Republican Cynthia Gidius. I want to give you a chance to just sort of wrap up or make a closing statement or maybe comment on something you weren't asked about that needs to get out.
Well, thanks, Lee. I first and foremost appreciate this opportunity to speak with everybody. And I think what people should know is between my opponent and myself is that I am a time-proven job creator. and I have experience as an elected leader, and my opponent does not. I have real-world experience on the front lines of business, education, and government. I serve as a voice at large for people of the Northwest. The education and experience I have gained will allow me to lead effectively with real solutions for real gains. And as an elected legislative official, a businesswoman, and a director, I have direct experience with budgeting processes, legislation, partnership development, job creation, working with veterans, strongly representing education, and working hand-in-hand with seniors, as well as strong team management. I feel all those are vital to becoming an elected official for the state of Idaho, and I know those points will serve me well, and especially when it comes to public speaking, you should always have an answer at hand, look for viable solutions, and be able to communicate those across the board. Regardless of who you are as a Republican or Democrat, you really have to learn and know how to work with others, and I believe that my training and experience, even in Washington, D.C., learning and studying from many great international leaders and generals as a student under negotiations and conflict resolution will best serve me in this position as well.
Okay, Paulette Jordan, thank you very much for joining us tonight.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Paulette Jordan is the Democrat running for House Seat 5A. Her opponent, Cindy Agidius, the Republican from Moscow, she said she would not be participating in the call-in candidates forums. I thought she might actually do a phone interview, but she hasn't been returning calls, so we don't even have that format with her. If you want to go to the Radio Free Moscow website, we have interviews with 8 out of the 10 candidates running in contested races here in Latah County for the legislature, sheriff, and county commissioners. And what's that? Why don't you just say what you want to say?
Oh, yes. I also wanted to add that folks have the time and interest. I would love for you to check out my website at jordanforidaho.com. And, of course, we have extensions in Twitter and Facebook as well as YouTube.
Okay. So, as I was saying, we do have interviews with 8 out of the 10 candidates on the Radio Free Moscow website. You can also tune in on that website and listen to the call-in candidates forum we had with Democrat Shirley Ringo and her opponent, Republican Ken DeVries. That's available. Basically, you can search for the names of the candidates and you can find those things. Another thing that we will have on the air Sunday at noon, we'll be broadcasting the League of Women Voters Candidates Forum that was held at the Moscow High School last week. So that'll be played 10 till noon on Saturday here on KRFP in Moscow. We have some voter information to give you, and then we're going to play Flashpoints, which is about a half hour late tonight, and then we'll have music and entertainment throughout the night and some volunteer DJs coming in. I do want to say that if under Idaho law, you have to bring a picture ID to the polls to vote, or as another option, if you don't have a picture ID with you when you go to vote, you can sign an affidavit saying you are who you claim you are and that you live at your current address. So that's additional voting information. Thanks for listening tonight. This is KRFP Moscow, Idaho.
The election this year is Tuesday, November 6th. Polls will be open in Idaho from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. on Election Day. In Idaho, you can register to vote at the polls on Election Day. If you are not already registered, bring proof that you have lived at your current address for at least 30 days. A power or landline phone bill are two suggestions. In Moscow, the polling places are the southwest concourse of the ASUI Kibbe Dome, if you live west of Main Street, and the 4-H building at the Latah County Fairgrounds, if you live east of Main Street. The fairgrounds are located across White Avenue from Safeway on the east side of town. In-person absentee voting will occur at the Latah County Courthouse during business hours Monday through Friday until Friday, November 2nd at 5 p.m.
こちらは KRFP モスクワ、アイダホ、米国。